for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, July the 1st, 2016, Colonel Williams is the speaker of the service teaching on Dream of Three Woes.
Thank God for Brother Merrill and his wisdom, revelation that God has given him for the camp. Patty and Kevin and other powerful ministry gifts and many first-time visitors. We thank God for each and every one of them. Amen. I want to thank God for Sister Carla today. I was real blessed. Sister Jerry, I was real blessed. Brother Nicky, God bless you, brother. I was blessed by what he said also. And I like what he said. You know, a lot of times we want a quick fix for deliverance, but we need to crucify the flesh. Amen. And we pray that what happens here today, that you will go home and work out your salvation with fear and with what? Trembling. Amen. All right. Thank God for each and every one of you. I want you to know my wife and I, we love you. And we're always excited to come to Lake Hamilton. Amen. Amen. Let's get started. I just have so much on my heart I want to talk about. But first, let me say this before we get started. I remember in Mexico, I remember it was a rainy day. It was about 700 Latino Hispanic people. And I remember they had a glass roof. And I remember standing there, and I was ministering. And I remember I said to them, God thundered on the Philistines. All of a sudden, boom! It thundered with a crack of lightning. Hundreds of people started running for the door. I was standing there, put my Bible down, trying to figure out what. All of a sudden, the weight of his presence, the weight of his glory start coming in that place. I didn't know whether to stay there or run along with the other Hispanic people that were headed out the door. And then all of a sudden, I start seeing nobody touch nobody. Nobody prayed for nobody. Manifestations were popping all over the place. Boom, ka-pop, ka-boom, ka-pop. Everywhere. And some of the people, they had to go get them and minister to them and drag them up to the altar. That was such an exciting day. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord was showing me, you haven't seen nothing yet. My people haven't seen nothing yet. Did not my word say that greater works shall ye do? So I believe that, listen, get ready. Get ready, the train of glory is moving. How many of you believe that? Well, give Jesus a prayer. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Can everyone hear me okay? Look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Let's look at verse 6 and verse 9. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 6 and 9. Verse 6, the Bible says, but if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have made set thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. Look at verse 8. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. In other words, God will hold the watchman accountable for not warning.
Yeah.
Look at verse 9 closely. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast what? Delivered thy soul. Ezekiel was a prophet. Prophets are watchmen. Prophets are watchmen. God is raising up prophetic people who are also watchmen. And there's a stirring in the body of Christ to warn souls who are lost what's ahead of us. When we were in Canada, the Lord had blessed so well, we were able to train for in 1 week's time some young Brazilian and Portuguese people how to prophesy and move into it in a word of knowledge, 1 Corinthians 12. And those kids loved it, and some of them began to flow prophetically. And it was just a blessing to see these children equipped, seeing them perfected or seeing them trained. But that night I came home and I said, Lord, I know that we are in the times of restitution, and I know that Christ is being held in the heavens until the time of restitution or the time of refreshing, and that the Lord is restoring the fivefold ministry gifts or the fivefold ministry expressions back to the church. But Lord, I asked this question as I was praying, and I did like Brother Nikki said today, whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, I asked the Lord that. Lord, where are we? And many of you may dispute what I'm about to say, but that's okay. I love you. And that night, he gave me a dream. Amen? He gave me a visitation, a prophetic dream. In the dream, I was in a car. I was driving north, south, east, west. And I know prophetically speaking, that means traveling to the mission field. Then all of a sudden, I heard an audible voice. And the voice said to me, one woe, W-O-E, one woe is past, yea, there be two more woes. One woe is past, yea, there be what? Two more woes. I looked at a book by a woman named Suzanne Noni, and she said that many times vehicles can represent ministry or personal ministry. And as I looked in the scripture, amen, how many of you know that dreams are to be tested by the word of God?
Yes.
Amen? Well, let's give you a scripture. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. And the Greek word for judgeth is anakrino. And what it means, he that is spiritual examines, he or she judges, they ask questions, they search, they discover by the word of God. Amen? How many of you know, even by the dream realm, 1 John 4, 1, we are not to believe every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of who? Whether they be of God. So I said to myself, where is an automobile in the Bible or in the word of God? I want you to turn with me right now to the book of Nahum. That's N-A-H-U-M. The book of Nahum, N-A-H-U-M. Let's look at chapters in chapter 2. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. The book of Nahum, chapter 2. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, the shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots The chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir tree shall be terribly shaken. Now look at verse 4 real closely. The chariots shall rage in the streets. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broadways. They shall sing like torches. They shall run like lightning. Isn't that good? Chariots are a type of vehicle. And if you look at verse 4, we see that even chariots had road rage. Because the Bible says the chariots shall what? Rage in the streets. Is that right? And look what it says. They shall jostle, or jostle, verse 4. The word jostle means against one another, to run or strike each other. How many car wrecks have you seen lately? I-95, I-10, cars adjusting, striking one another. And then look what else it says. Another in the broad ways. And I looked up the word broad ways in Hebrew, correction, yes, in Hebrew. I looked it up, and it means streets, ways, and places. Okay? So I said, okay, thank you, Jesus. We found the vehicle. That's confirmation of the dream. Then I need confirmation through testing on the audible voice. Does God speak to us in our dreams and visions through an audible voice? And the answer is yes. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 20. Let's look at verses 3 and 6. The book of Genesis, chapter 20. Amen. Let's look at verses 3 and 6. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 3, the Bible says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. So there was a visitation by God in a dream by night. And said, look what it says, and said. The word said in Hebrew is omar, which means speak or utter. And look what it says. And said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which you have taken, she is a man's wife. Verse 4, but Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, would thou slay also a righteous nation? Look at verse 5. Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she herself said, he is my brother, in the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this. So here we see that God coming to Abimelech in a dream by night. Let me give you another scripture. Turn to Genesis chapter 31. Look at verse 11. The book of Genesis chapter 31, verse 11. I have caught a lot of scriptures for you tonight, but I pray we move along as the Holy Spirit leads. Look at Genesis chapter 31. Look at verse 11. Not only do we hear an audible voice in our dreams and visions, but we can hear angels. Look what it says in verse 11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. Okay? Look at Numbers chapter 12. The book of Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. The book of Numbers chapter 12. Let's look at verse 6. In verse 6, the Bible says, and he said, hear thou my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in what? A dream. Now, let me give you two more scriptures. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse what? 5. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, what do we find? In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, there we are again, God said, look what he said, ask what I shall give thee. Isn't that good? All right. Now, let's go to Job chapter 33. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. In verse 13, the Bible says, why dost thou strive against him, for he giveth not account of any of his matters? Look at verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God speaks. Look at verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep does what? Falleth upon men in slumberings of their bed. Many of you have been having dreams and visions, and many of you have heard the audible voice of God. How many of you know that it's good to write dreams and visions down, and amen, and discern the next day, what is the Lord saying to me? Align it with God's word. Okay. Now, I want you to also know that evil angels can influence dreams and visions. How many of you know that? Amen. Okay. Let's give you some scripture to that. Jeremiah chapter 23. The book of Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's look at verse 16. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not to the word of the prophets that prophesy to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not of the mouth of the Lord. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's look at verse 25. I have heard what the prophet said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. So in other words, there can be false dreams and false visions. Is that right? And that's why the prophetic has to be tested by the word of God. Now let's get back to the audible voice that God gave me. After I found the context of that, I turned to the scripture in the book of Revelation. I want everybody to turn there with me, please. The book of Revelation. Let's look at chapter 9, verse 12. And look what verse 12 says. One woe is past. There come two woes more after. Now, this is amazing. One woe is past. There come two woes more hereafter. The Greek word for woe is uarche, which means grief, or it means woe. When I looked in the Roget's theological correction, when I looked in Roget's College Thesaurus, I found it means a time of trouble, a time of sorrow, unhappiness, pain, horrors, and all types of trials and tribulation. I believe, prophetically, that we are in a time, a kairos time, for the seal and the bowl judgments and the trumpet judgment are being fulfilled. I was never taught as a child about Bible prophecy. As a child before my military days, I grew up in a Baptist church. Amen. And all the preacher, the pastor did was, well, well, well. And during Halloween, we put on Halloween costume and dressed up like Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and Dracula, and we come to church on Halloween. All bound up. Amen? Come on, saints. But I believe God is changing that because we're in the times of restitution. I believe prophetically before I go any further, and I'm not trying to get into politics, who is put in the White House will determine a delayed or accelerated judgment. I believe that, saints. Who we put in the White House will determine a delay or will determine accelerated judgments. And I believe that what I'm about to share with you tonight is if we don't go in the right direction as a nation, this judgment, this trumpet judgment, is right upon us.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. All right. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 8, and let's look at verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given what? Seven trumpets. We're not going to deal with the seal judgment or the bowl judgments. We only want to deal tonight with the trumpet judgments. Now, look at Revelation chapter 2 again. And I saw seven angels were stood before God, and to them were given what? Seven trumpets. The number seven means what? Completion. Now look at verse 6 of Revelation chapter 8. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, be prepared to sound. Does everybody see that? Okay? How many of you know that God wants you to use your voice as a prophetic voice, a prophetic trumpet, and begin to warn what's coming even into the land? Okay? All right. Let's look at verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Let's look at verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. How many of you know that Jesus Christ loves us so much? Is that He loves us so much that He wants His people warm? Is that right? I believe that we're in a time of deep-seated repentance. I believe that we're in a time you can't even play with your salvation anymore. Right. Listen, I believe you're in a time where you must get really sincere about going to the altar and getting on your knees and making vows and covenants and confessing before God things that you have no plan to do. I believe that we're in that time. Look what it says in verse 7. We see worldwide destruction. Hail and fire mixed with blood, a third part of trees burnt up, all green grass burnt up, fruits and nuts and vegetables and greenery all dry up. Look at verse 8. And the second angel saw, and there was a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became what? Look at verse 9. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. So Revelation chapter 8, verse 8 and 9, we see a second trumpet judgment. A third of the earth's oceans turned to blood. A third part of sea creatures will die. A third part of the ships destroyed. Our loving Father has designed these judgments to get the attention of every man and woman on this planet. And I cannot stress to you, it's time for a deep-seated repentance. It's time to, listen, forgive your enemies. Forgive those you dislike. Family members, next of kin, church folk, church people. Hello, saints.
Yes.
Ex-spouses. It's time that you forgive. We're not in a time to play games with the church anymore. All right, look at verse Revelation chapter 8. Let's look at verse 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a star from heaven, burning as it were a what? Lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of what? Waters. Look at verse 11 real closely. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many people doubted the waters because there was what? Bitter. Now, from Revelation chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, what do we see? We see the third trumpet judgments. What are they? Third part of the rivers and the fountains of waters polluted. Third part of the waters became wormwood. We saw that the star fell and made the waters bitter. Do you know that overseas almost 2.2 million people are dying of contaminated water? Do you know Lamentation 5 talks about there will come a time when you have to pay for your water? Water is about to become gold. Texas tea. So we're in that time. Water is very what? It's becoming very, very valuable. Amen? All right, let's keep moving. Let's look at Revelation chapter 8. Look at verse 12. And the fourth angel, now here we are in the fourth trumpet judgment. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the star, so that the third part of them were darkened, and that they shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So the fourth trumpet judgment, Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, a third part of the sun smitten, third part of the moon, third part of the stars, and a third part of day and night likewise, which means that there's going to become a day of catastrophic darkness. Oh, what a time. All right. Bless you with the first trumpet judgment, the second trumpet judgment, the third trumpet judgment, and the fourth trumpet judgment. Now, I want you to watch verse 13 of Revelation chapter 8 real closely. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet and of the three angels which have not yet to sound. So here we have a decree of an holy angel of God decreeing three woes. Does everybody see that real close? Where are the three woes? Woe, woe, and woe. Is everybody with me? Everybody with me? Yeah. Amen. You're awfully quiet. Praise God. Amen, brother. Amen. All right. Let's look at the book of Revelation again. And we only want to flow in that area. Let's look at verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, watch this closely. In Revelation 8:13, we see three woes. The first woe is the fifth trumpet judgment. The second woe is the sixth trumpet judgment. And the third woe is the seventh trumpet judgment. Very easy. Let me say it again. When we see woe in verse 13 of Revelation 8, and we look at Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, we see the fifth angel, we see him sounding, and then we saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now I'm going to read to verse 12. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, had the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And in verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but I love this right here. Only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Look at verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he was struck for man. Verse 6. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Verse 7. And the shapes of locusts were like horses prepared to battle. On their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth was as the teeth of lions. Look at verse 9. They had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings had the sound of chariots and many horses running about. Verse 10, and they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was given to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue have his name Apollyon. And verse 12 tells us something closely. One woe is past, and there will be two more woes. I want you to listen to something real closely. Okay? AnthonyPatch.com. He's an old, elderly brother full of wisdom. Anthony Patch, he worked in the area of CERN. How many of you are familiar with CERN? Oh, everybody's familiar with CERN. Good. What is CERN doing? Well, it's a nuclear research reactor. What are they doing? It started out as a nuclear research facility or a weapons facility, but now it has shifted into trying to open up portals and black holes and other dimensions. Listen to this. CERN has a dark side, very sinister, very occultic. CERN has 64 modern nations funding her. China, the USA, and Iran as well. CERN, outside the entrance, has a statue of Shiva, which is the Hindu goddess of destruction. CERN is full of occult symbolisms, and it is located in France and Switzerland, and it is built underground. It's almost 27 miles long. It's built 300 feet underground. It's a scientific research facility with satanic rituals, satanic gods, dances, and occult symbolism. And at the opening of the tunnel of CERN, there are many rituals done. Dr. Stephen Hawking, a physicist and a mathematician, said, "Do you really know what we're doing with CERN? We're trying to open up a portal because we never know what might come through it." Okay? Then I found out CERN has been running since 2008 with these progression accelerators. Then I found something that caught my attention. He said photographic images where certain pipes run through the wall, through the tunnels of the sun, have revealed images of hideous demonic creatures. Okay? So here we are, scientists, are trying to open up a hole, an abyss, a pit, a portal. Hello, saints of God. I think we're drawing you into what time we're in. All right, let's go back to the scripture. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. All right. And the fifth angel sounded, and it says, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Is that right? And then to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Fifth angel sounded his trumpet. How many of you know that there are, in the New York Post, May 15, 2015, in the New York Post, many people all over the world are hearing strange trumpet sounds. Amen? There are many people that are saying, what are these strange sounds? Is it harp? You know, when they're doing weather warfare with the machinery? What are these strange trumpet sounds? I believe that the Lord is warning his people. And I believe that the Lord, through those trumpet sounds, has called his people to repentance. How many of you know that? And I'm going to keep stressing his love for us. He loves us so much that he just lets warn us. He likes to tell us what's ahead of us if we don't repent and properly align ourselves. Let's go back to the scripture. I looked up the word star. It comes from the Greek word astai. And many of you already know that stars in scriptures are symbolic of angels. Is that right?
Yeah.
Stars in scripture are symbolic of angels. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Let's look at verse 20. The book of Revelation chapter 1. Let's look at verse 20. The Bible says, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, the mystery of the seventh star, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the golden seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are what? The seven churches. Okay? Let's look at Revelation chapter 12. Let's look at verse 4. The book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars. There's your word stars again. Stars of heaven, and they cast into the earth those angels. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered to devour her child, Jesus, as soon as he was born. Okay? All right. Now, there are many leaders that I've met, and God bless all the leaders, because there's some godly leaders and godly pastors. They say that the fifth angel and the fifth trumpet sound, the fifth angel, they said, notice that the star fall from heaven. The Amplified said, had fallen. So I looked at the word fall, and it means pipto in the Greek. It means to descend from a higher plane to a lower plane. It means also to be thrust down. In other words, all to be thrust down, there has to be a use of force. Is that correct? To fall either from or upon. And many of them are saying, have fallen and fall. They believe this angel to be Satan. Well, in a sense that may be true. But in another sense, let's look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and 3. In the book of Revelation chapter 20, let's look at verse 1 and 3. In verse 1 and 3 of Revelation chapter 20, and I saw an angel come down. This angel came down on his own cognizance from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years might be fulfilled. And after that, he must be what? Loosed for what? A season. Does everybody see that? Okay, now we know in a biblical sense that God does use fallen angels. And I just want to give you scripture. In a biblical sense, there are times that God does use fallen angels to do his bidding. Turn to Psalm chapter 78. Let's look at verse 50 and 51. Psalm 78. Let's look at verses 50 and 51. Okay? Psalm chapter 78. Verses 50
and 51. In verse 51, it says, and okay, correction. Look at Psalm chapter 78. Let's look at verse 49. In verse 49, it says, he cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. Does everybody see that? Verse 50, and he made a way to his anger, and smeared up his soul from death, and gave their life over to pestilence. Verse 51, he smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength, and the tabernacles of what? Ham. Alright. In Revelation 1:18, we know that Jesus Christ has the keys to what? Hell and death. Everybody look at Revelation chapter 1:18. Alright. Jesus Christ has the what? Keys to hell and death. Alright? Alright, this angel that came down, it could have been a representative angel, a fallen angel, but one thing we do know in Revelation 20, he's going to send an angel to bound Satan with a chain. Okay? Look at Revelation chapter 1:18. In verse 18, the Bible says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys to what? Hell and death. Okay. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 9. Let's look at verse 2. Okay. And in verse 2 it says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, had the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the what? Of the pit. Okay. We know that many demons abound where? In the abyss and in the bottomless pit. Now, I'm going to say something, and please don't get upset with me. Just love me. I want you to love me with agape love. Let me get it right. It's that storge, philia, eros. How about some agape love here? Huh? Now, some of you may get mad, but I'm going to give you some scriptures. Turn to Luke chapter 8. The book of Luke chapter 8. Amen. All right. Let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 31 and 33. Saying Luke chapter 8, verse 31 and 33. All right, verse 31 says, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. The word deep means abyss. The word abyss means bottomless pit. So they besought him, meaning the demons begged and pleaded with him. They did not want to go where? To the abyss. Verse 32, and there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter to them, and he suffered them. Look at verse 33. Then went the devils out of the man, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violent down a steep place into the lake, and they were what? Choked. The demons were begging not to go into the pit, so Jesus did what? He suffered them not. All right, let's talk. Can we talk? Amen. Many times, you know, I will never say anything against someone who tells me, God said, God spoke to me. Well, you say God said that, then brother, I'm not going to speak that. You know, but I know God aligns himself with his word. I hear people say, commanding demons, God, go to hell, go to the pit of hell. And I look at my scripture, and I'm trying to understand. The angel had to come down with a key and open the pit. And the word pit means abyss. The word abyss means bottomless pit. And it had to be, in other words, if you put me out of this church, and you lock it up. Don't let me get back in. You open up a key. Unless I thought, were there other compartments of the pit? Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Am I way off on the deep end? I'm not in La La Land. Huh? Okay. Let's look at some scriptures. The angel had to unlock the abyss in verse 2 to unleash the demonic powers. If something is locked, it has to be opened. Could it be various parts of the bottomless pit are locked? All various parts of the bottomless pit have other lower levels. Being that the case, can we send demons to the bottomless pit? All right. When in Revelation 20, verse 1 and 3, the angel had to come down with a great chain and the key and open the bottomless pit to bind Satan inside. All right. Now, here's a scripture that's going to have you thinking. Look at Matthew chapter 8. St. Matthew chapter 8. Well, brother, I've been casting out devils 40 years. You're going to come tell me I can send them to the pit? Brother, how long you been preaching? All right, look at St. Matthew chapter 8.
Let's look at verse 28 and 29. And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Torment us before the time. If you look at the word torment in the Greek, it's basanizo. Basanizo means, or you come to pain us before the time, or you come, watch this, toss us before the time. And the word toss also means cast. Okay? Or you come to pain us, or you come to toss us, or you come to cast us. The demons knew that word time means kairos time, season of due time. Matthew 25 and 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. The demon told Jesus, "Or you come to toss us, cast us before the time." Hello, saints. But if God told you to send them to the pit, send them to the pit, brother. And I hope they burn extra crispy like when brother say, "You make it." Amen. Pastor Win the World, he would always say, "I command you to come out, and I command you to go where Jesus Christ will send you." And here's a man that has 40 years of deliverance ministry. You know something? Well, honey, I don't agree with that man. I've been sending him to the pit, to the bottomless pit all my life, and by George, I'm going to keep sending him. I'll let the angel figure it out. He got the key. You want to open it up and unlock them? God bless him. But I'm sending them to hell. Matthew 12 talks about when the unclean spirit is going out of a man, where does he go? Let me bless you again. Turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 30. What's that Proverbs 4? Wisdom is the principal thing. And all that getting, get what? Understanding. All right. See, you thought I was going to come up in the night and go, "Ah." No, no. Let's teach tonight. All right. Look at Job chapter 30. All right. Look at verse 3. "For want and famine they were solitary, they, fleeing into the wilderness in former time, dusted and waste." Verse 4. "Cut up mallets by the bushes, and juniper roots for their meat." Here's they cutting up mallows, and they're hanging around the bushes, and they eating juniper roots. Verse 5, "They were driven forth from among men." Here's somebody that was driven from among men. Where are they hanging out at? In the wilderness, hanging around bushes, hanging around the juniper roots. Look what it says in verse 6. "They dwell in the cliffs of the valleys, and in caves of the earth, and in the rocks." Who's they? Living in the wilderness. Let me take it back again. Being driven from among men. You don't see people hanging out in nightclubs? Well, demons hang out too. Hanging out in the cliffs, hanging out in the valley, hanging out in the cave, hanging out among the rocks. Look at verse 7. "And among the bushes they brayed, among under the nettles they were gathered together." Verse 8 says, "They are children of food, children of base men. They are lower than anything on the face of the earth. They were vile in the earth." Job 30 gives us a demon hangout. Hello, saints. A demon hangout. I hear people say all the time, "Well, where do they go, brother?" Please, stop sending them to Africa. Africa has more problems. Africa has enough Macumba Santeria. Hello. Saints of God, human animals sacrifice. I hear so many ministers, "I command you to go to Africa." We got Africa right here in America. Is that right? Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's move on. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9, verse 3. How many of you know you can have fun in the Lord? Yeah. I have these days where I want to be happy, and then there's the days I want to just thunder for Jesus, you know? All right. The book of Revelation chapter 9, verse 3. "And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, have the scorpions of the earth what? Have what? Power." Everybody see that? Now, let me bless you with something again.
Turn to the book of Exodus chapter 10. Hold your finger there on Revelation 9. Look at Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. Look at verses 13 and 15. Verse 13, and Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Look at verse 14. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Notice what the Bible says. These locusts were very what? Grievous. Very grievous were they before them. There was no such locusts as neither after them shall be such. Look at that closely. They were very what? Grievous. The word grievous comes from the Hebrew word kabod, which means that the locust was extraordinary. They were extraordinary. They were very oppressive. They were numerous, and they were hard, and they were difficult. In other words, verse 14 tells us that these locusts were so grievous that there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. What is the word of the Lord telling us? Were these demonic creatures, were these demonic locusts that attacked the land of Egypt? Because the Bible said they were very strange, and they were very what? Out of the ordinary. And I'm thinking about in Revelation chapter 9, when we just read verse 3, here we got locusts that are coming out of the bottomless pit. And I'm thinking about CERN and how already they got photographic images of strange looking demonic hideous creatures never seen before on photographic images inside the tunnel. And I'm asking myself, Lord, you gave me a dream. One more is past, there'll be two more. Are we in the fifth trumpet judgment? If this nation does not turn around, God, give us a delay. Because, Lord, if we don't align ourselves properly, we are facing accelerated judgment. We have not dealt with the demonic forces that are ready to be released upon this earth. I'm not in no way saying that certain is an issue. But I'm saying to you, it is real strange when you have a research facility that was supposed to be a weapons facility. It was real strange for the Lord to give me that dream. And all of a sudden, these people saying that we don't, whatever comes through the tunnel, let it be. Or we don't know what might come through the tunnel. And we got photographic images of demonic creatures. That's enough to make anybody say. Whether you preach here, like Brother Nick said, midship, post here. That's enough for anybody to say, man, it's time for salvation. It's time for me to know Jesus as my Lord. Here we have an Exodus. They're saying there were some strange looking locusts. I found a man by the name of Andreas of Caesarea in AD 500. He held that the locusts mean evil spirits permitted to come on the earth and afflict men and women with pain. And this is what these creatures are going to do. I believe that. We're seeing every day spiritual warfare intensify. I don't tell many people this, but I will tell you tonight. I've told a few people this. If you want to call the strength, you can. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the guest quarters hotel that's not there anymore, there was a young white woman that just got out of prison for murder. She was a lesbian. She came to one of our meetings there. All of a sudden, she started 10 pages out the Bible. When she started 10 pages out the Bible, the young lady said, Minister Williams, she's tearing the pages out the Bible. I said, well, we'll just pray for her. We went over there to begin to pray for her. God brought some deliverance. But when they took her to the ladies' restaurant, the women came back screaming. Why God permitted this to happen, I don't know. Yes, I do know, because of what's ahead of us. This woman had turned to half human, half goat. Sire, it's in the Bible. I can give you scriptures later. She turned, she had goat hooves. She turned, had hair. You could say I've been watching too many horror movies or sci-fi. Or to Cheagle or 3D. You can say what you want. Amen. God bless you. One lady fainted. I had a brother. I thought he was going to be strong with me. I thought he was Elvis Presley. It was a whole lot of shaking going on with him.
Amen. This brother started shaking, and I was saying, "Brother, come over here and help me, man." Let me tell you something, saints of God, and I stand here, not to take a surviving Vietnam, surviving law enforcement, I cannot tell you back in the early 90s, I wasn't scared. I ain't never seen none of that in my life, but I wouldn't let my rivers know. My man, here we got God's ever standing here, man. You know? My God! But God used that situation right there. He used that situation to educate me in a certain area. Nobody, hundreds of people coming into the guest quarters hotel on the beach, nobody came upstairs. Her, half goat, half human, we sitting at the entrance of the ladies' restroom. I mean, that we on the floor, man. Man, it was UFC, you know. And God blessed me to go into the ear gate. Presence of God began to move, and I thank God for His holy angels. There were years, I'm going to tell you, there were years before I could understand why did God permit that to happen. Now, in places that we go among the nations, we see evil is intensifying. We see, listen, Isaiah 61 and 2, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, and gross darkness shall cover the earth. The glory is intensifying, and gross darkness is also intensifying. Let me tell you something, believers, those of you who love the Deliverance Ministry, you're not dealing with some little nicotine demon, some little, oh, she got a lust demon. Oh, he got some little patty cake, a little Debbie demon. Look, Debbie Kid. No, you're dealing with hybrid demonic beings that are going, that are transforming, shape shifting, metamorphosizing. And let me tell you something else. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. Hear me, saints of God. You're going to need Jesus, a fasted, consecrated prayer life. You're going to have to know Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Because if you don't know Him, if you don't know Him and you're not connected with Him, you have no business dealing with the host of heaven. Man, I tell you, for God to give me that dream of the one war is past, there'll be two more. He was drawing my attention to something. I asked Him. He didn't give me a serpent. I asked Him. He gave me bread. God showed me in the area of the fifth trumpet. Some theologian may dispute that. It's all right. I know in my heart that the Spirit of God spoke to me. And I believe whether it's now or whether it's near, when we look at CERN, we can see that it's in the making. Come on, give Jesus a praise. Let's go back to the book of Revelation chapter 9. Let's look at verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not what? The seal of God in their foreheads. Let me give you a scripture. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. In verse 21 it says, "Now He which established us with you in Christ and have anointed us as God." Now look at verse 22 real closer. "Who have also sealed us and given the earnest," or that word means a deposit, "the earnest of the Spirit," where? "In our hearts." The Greek word for seal us is sophreizo, and it means to seal or have a seal upon you, or to mark with a seal, or for security from Satan, or set a mark upon you, or impressed with a seal or with a stamp. How many of you know that we need to be sealed for protection? Hello, saints. Come on. We need Jesus. You know, we need Jesus. I can talk about demonic principalities, strongholds, all day, all manifestation, but the nucleus of the circle is Jesus Christ. Without Him, you are nothing. Hello, saints. Believers are being attacked. And many ministries, thank God for Lake Hammond. Thank God for the Deliverance Ministry. I'm hearing things in Atlanta, people coming to the house. Brother, you pastored the church. Brother, you pastored years ago, not right now. I'm loving the nation, brother. You know? Brother, the lady was levitating in the church. So we brought an African evangelist in. Man, she was levitating. But the pastor doesn't want deliverance. And I said, you mean to tell me you got a witch flying around in the room in the church? Half of people running out of church screaming and hollering. Hello, saints. I mean, no harm in that. People screaming and running for their lives. Some of the members knocking on the crowd door. Come over there. I said, no, see your pastor. You know, God didn't tell me to go over there. You know, see, it's not that I was in field for it, but there's a shortage of deliverance ministers. There's a shortage of deliverance workers. There are demonic spirits manifesting in churches and places that you never would thought would happen. Oh, my God. I believe that we are in the fifth. I just believe that. I believe we are in that fifth trumpet area. Oh. Turn back into Revelation chapter 9. All right. Let's look at verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and the torment was as the torment of a scorpion who does but striketh a man. In other words, they're not believed to kill, but they're going to be able to torment for how many months? And I'm thinking about CERN again. And here we got photographic images of demonic influence. And who's to say what they may tap into? Who's to say what portal or what pit or what abyss they might connect themselves with, you know? And I'm thinking about what would come out of there tormenting a man like a scorpion. Tormenting a man for 5 months. Those that do not have the seal of God within their foreheads. Okay. Let's look at verse 6. And in those days men, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall do what? And death shall do what? Flee from them. Okay? All right. Let's continue to move on. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 27. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 27, it says, the locusts have no king. Look at that closely. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by their what? By hands. Now, when I look at Revelation chapter 9, and I look at verse 11, look at verse 11, I see that these locusts have a king. They have a leader. In verse 11 it says that they have a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue is what? Apollyon. Let me tell you something. We just have a mass murder in Orlando, Florida. Has anybody paid attention? Abaddon means death and destruction. Apollyon, Abaddon, death and destruction. To look at that region of Orlando, what would you see manifest? Spirits of what? Death, destruction, violence. Hello, saints. On a massive scale. And the cry you would say, where's the intercessors praying for that region? Then in Orlando, you had the news media say the little boy was attacked by a crocodile. And I told my wife, I said, honey, we were raised in Florida, and that was not a crocodile, that was an alligator. Okay? And it's sad about the little child. So here we got an alligator that's attacking the baby. They're hideous. They're aggressive. They are man eaters. Hello, saints of God. And to dream about an alligator is connected with ancient spirits. So I told my wife, I said, well, I can see what's manifesting in Orlando. There's some ancient spirits down there attacking in that region. But here's to make a long story short. Some of you may feel, I don't have to worry about that. I'm saved, and I'm about to jet out of here in a moment. Jesus said, occupy till he comes. Occupy, occupy till he comes. Listen, I'm concerned about each and every one of you. I will battle the host of hell if I could be up all night to see one man of God or one woman set free in Jesus' name. Listen, you got to get it in your heart and you got to get it in your spirit that the church is at war. Hello, saints of God. I'm tired of going to churches and everybody's shouting and happy for the wrong thing. And brother, come on over here and have some collard greens and some chicken. more Easter egg bunny hunt. Hello, saints. Hello. You know, we ever see an egg-laying rabbit unless he's a hybrid. Hello, saints. Here we are. Here we are. And if God permit the timing of CERN, tapping into the abyss. All right. This warning is not much trouble. My pain keep falling. What's prophetic about that, honey? That's a word. Cut it short, okay? Praise the Lord. All right. Let's look at verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared to battle, and on their heads were crowns like gold, and their faces had the face of what? Man. All right. 8. And they had hair as the hair of women, the teeth were as the teeth of what? Lions. Now look at verse 9. They had breastplates, they were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were as the sound of chariots of many horses. Doing what? Running to what? All right. Part lion, part calf, part man. I mean, what we got here? Part horse. Part woman. Teeth like lion, breastplates of iron, wings, and their chariots like horses running to battle. Look at verse 10. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tail, and their power was to hurt men for how many months? All right, verse 11, and we're going to start at verse 12. It didn't take me that long to say what I had to say about this dream.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.